Hey there, I'm Britt Allen, and this is The Chain, a podcast about songs and the different things that link them together. In the last episode, we looked at Delicious Vinyl and its food counterpart Delicious Pizza, as well as Starbucks' ill-advised decision to start a record label. Today, we start with Sia and The Girl You Lost to Cocaine as we link it to a chart-topping pop anthem. So, how did Sia Furler go from modest indie artist to songwriter for the stars? The story starts in her hometown of Adelaide in the mid-90s, where Sia was the vocalist in an acid jazz band called Crisp. They broke up, and in 1997, she released her first solo album, Only C. It was a flop, selling only around 1,200 copies. So, Sia did what many 20-something Australians do. She headed to London.
Yeah, I didn't really go there to make it as a performer. I just went there on a holiday and got sort of stuck there. Yeah, it's kind of like quicksand. Really, I was just kind of drunk for the first 3 months.
That's Sia in a 2005 interview with UndercoverHD.com.
I didn't sing for ages until like a friend of my cousins kind of rang up. I've got English cousins and rang up and said, there's a jam on down the road, you should come and sing. You're a singer, right? And I was like, yeah, okay. So I went down and then there was someone running backwards and forwards in front of the stage while I was singing, going, you're with me, you're with me. And he ended up managing me for like 4 years, signed me to a record deal, publishing deal, and then, you know, I got a bit successful.
Her first single with Sony Music's Dancepool label was called Taken for Granted. While the song gained little to no traction in Australia, it hit top 10 in the UK and was even featured on Top of the Pops.
Next up, jazz, funk, fusion flavours, hip-hop beats and a classical Prokofiev sample. Mm. And who said that Australians didn't have taste? This is Sia.
This was the first of three singles off her second album, Healing is Difficult. Meanwhile, Sia also began collaborating with English band Zero Seven, providing vocals for several tracks. For solo album number 3, Colour the Small One, Sia signed with Universal sub-label Go Beat. While critics gave generally positive reviews, the release didn't perform as well as expected, peaking at 180 on the UK album charts. So Sia moved again, this time to New York, and she felt like a bit of a failure until...
You have to promise me you won't listen to this until you start to drive away tomorrow morning.
Ted chose to put Breathe Me as the first track of his deeply unhip mix in the finale of 6 Feet Under. Well, it was music supervisor Gary Calamar who chose the song, initially for the fifth season promo and then for the final moments of the series. He told Vulture in 2015 that he'd been playing Breathe Me on his radio show on KCRW. They'd actually asked Arcade Fire to write a song for the promo, but it came in too late.
They played my song in the last episode And, you know, for a year I've done nothing. I was dropped last year, and when that happened, it totally rescued me again. Yeah. And Astralworks picked up that album, which had pretty much died in the UK. And, now it's like, it's bliss.
That's Sia again for UndercoverHD.com. So this brings us to where we met Sia in the last episode of The Chain. Her fourth album, Some People Have Real Problems, was released in 2008 through Hear Music and Starbucks. And in 2010 came album number 5, We Are Born, which peaked at number 2 on the ARIA chart and included the singles Clap Your Hands and You've Changed. It was at this point that Sia decided to step back from the spotlight and instead focus on writing music for other people. She didn't really want to be a big star, as she told Chris Connolly on Nightline.
I've been writing pop songs for pop stars now for a couple years and have become, you know, friends with them and see what their life is like, and that's just not something I want.
Now, we'll get to Sia's work writing for other people in a moment, but first, let's quickly cover the rest of her career so far. Studio album number 6, released in July 2014, was 1,000 Forms of Fear. It went to number 1 in Australia, the US and Canada. The lead single Chandelier has been viewed over 2 billion times on YouTube. But it was never supposed to be a big success. Sia told the NME in 2015 that the album was released as a contractual obligation, saying, quote, "Basically, I put this out to get out of my publishing deal. I was planning to be a pop songwriter for other artists, but my publishing deal was as an artist, so I had to put one more album out. I didn't want to get famous, so I kept all the songs I wanted and had a lot of fun making it." Since then, Sia has released a few more albums, including This Is Acting, Every Day is Christmas, and her LSD collaboration with Labyrinth and Diplo. She's also changed the way people compete on the reality show Survivor by randomly introducing a cash prize that she awards to her favourite contestant.
We happen to have a super fan who is Sia, this global pop star, but she just loves Survivor. And every season, she created her own award, the Sia Award, which she gives to the person that she was most entertained by.
Fun fact, the first time Sia did this, she interrupted the reunion show and ran on stage to award the third place contestant, animal lover Tai Trang, $100,000. Nobody knew she was going to do this. She wasn't wearing a mic and Jeff Probst looked incredibly confused. And Tai didn't actually know who she was.
Do you know who she is?
I actually don't show this.
That's from ET Canada. The other thing worth mentioning is that Sia has written and directed a feature film, Music, released early 2021. Here's another clip from ET Canada.
Sia's responding to a backlash she is getting after the teaser was released for a film she directed called Music. Sia cast her muse, Maddie Ziegler, as someone on the autism spectrum. The autism community is slamming her for not casting someone who actually has autism.
The portrayal of autism in the film is offensive and inaccurate on many levels. And disappointingly, when faced with criticism, Sia has doubled down on the choices made. This isn't a film podcast, and it's not my place to speak for autistic people, but this is too big a blunder to simply ignore. In the show notes, I've gathered some articles and videos about all the bad choices that Sia made with this movie. Now, back to the songwriting. In 2009, after Some People Have Real Problems, or as I now call it, the Starbucks album, Sia was contacted by Christina Aguilera.
I was listening to a lot of artists like Zero Seven, which they have worked a lot with one of my favorite singer-songwriters, Sia, who's absolutely amazing.
That's Christina on MTV.
I wrote four songs with her for her new album, which I think is probably going to come out later this year, maybe to coincide with her movie Burlesque, the one with Cher. Mm-hmm. And I wrote a song for the movie Burlesque as well. So I wrote the one that like Christina's going to be singing. It's the sad song.
And that's Sia for the Music 411 on YouTube. Since then, she's written for Kate Pearson, Lea Michele, Shakira, Britney Spears, Jessie J, Kylie Minogue, Jennifer Lopez, Carly Rae Jepsen, Maroon 5, Katy Perry, and even Beyonce.
I wrote another song that is now Beyonce's single, which is Pretty Hurts.
Right.
I wrote that song 2.5 years ago for Katy Perry. She never heard it. Sent it to some other people. Rihanna put it on hold. She had it on hold for 8 months. And then Beyonce somehow heard it. And Rihanna's management hadn't paid for the track, which means you put it on hold securely so right. No one else can take it. And Beyonce slid into home base and paid for the track and took it out.
And the song we're linking to today is the song that Sia wrote for Rihanna to make up for her missing out on Pretty Hurts.
I wrote it and it was just for me. Then I sang it and I was like, this is great. It sounds like something that they would like, people would vibe out on ecstasy in, like, I still call it ecstasy.
Right.
In like the dance tent at Glastonbury. Like, I just saw kids with their hands in the air or like in Ibiza, like
see, I thought it
on
was
the
like...
beach.
And there you have it. Sia's transformation from an indie pop performer with a face to a wig-wearing songwriting superstar. Diamonds reached number one in over 20 countries, including Norway, Israel and Greece, as well as Australia, Canada and the US. And as of 2013, it had sold over 7.5 million copies worldwide. Next time, we'll look at one of Rihanna's televised performances of Diamonds as we link it to the next song in the chain. As always, you can find more on our website, thechainpod.com, and at thechainpod on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at Britt Aylin pretty much everywhere. And if you want more music content from me, check out The Chain Unlinked. It's got interviews, music commentary, and there's a whole lot more to come. You can find it wherever you get your podcasts. That's it for this episode of The Chain. I've been Britt Aylin, and I'll catch you next time.